Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, veteran-owned coffee company, serving premium coffee to people who love America. Right now, 20% off a purchase. Go to blackriflecoffee.com/herd, H-E-R-D. Get your first coffee club order. I have a glass every day in the afternoon. Don't put anything in it. Just good, straight black coffee. It's fantastic. Michael Vick, 13 NFL seasons, 4 Pro Bowls. He knows Doug Peterson because Doug Peterson, I believe, was in Kansas City when with the Andy Reid stuff. No, it was. Let's ask him. Let's get Michael Vick on, joining us live. So, Michael, Doug Peterson fired. Where did you work with Doug Peterson?
In Philadelphia from 2009 to 2012. So I was with him for 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time together. I know Doug personally, and I kind of know how he think a little bit.
Okay, so let me ask you. I didn't like pulling Jalen Hurts. I thought it was a big mistake. I think when you have a young quarterback, you're just trying to give them these moments where they can build confidence. It was a moment for Jalen Hurts to win a football game. I thought it was a great moment for Jalen, and I think Doug butchered it. That's my opinion. Do you think that led potentially to his firing?
Oh, no doubt. Without question, I think everything in the end, down the stretch, was sort of mismanaged by Doug, and it started, when he first put Jalen Hurts on the field. Was it a need to put Jalen out there? I don't know. Was it out of desperation? Who knows? But, I just felt like a lot of things was mismanaged. And, that was a game of significance for the Philadelphia Eagles. One, to get a look at Jalen Hurts, and two, to kind of close the season out in style, so to speak. But he pulled Jalen, and we was all excited about Jalen, and we talked him up, and we wanted to see him finish and play against a good football team. A decent football team and the Washington football team. And for him to do that, took the air out of the building. So, it's shocking that they fired Doug. He's just, 4 years removed from the Super Bowl, but he accomplished some great things in Philadelphia.
By the way, I'm not going to tell you the comments that Mike and I talked before we went on the air. He actually golfed 2 days ago with Jeffrey Lurie, the Eagles owner. He didn't mention anything about firing a coach, right?
No, but he certainly picked my brain on some things, and it's fair to say he's a great listener. But we didn't talk about Doug at all. It was more about just coaching principles and things to look for. And I thought it was very intriguing. And myself and Larry Fitzgerald, we had great conversation. I had a good round of golf, but I didn't know that it was going to lead to this. And it's fair to say I had nothing to do with this, Doug, if you watch.
I appreciate that. Well, you and I were both happy because I've said this before, I think sometimes we bully in the media. We can all be kind of bad. And I think I was tired of hearing about how Lamar Jackson couldn't win if he was behind. And I'm like, timeout.
Right.
He's won 81% of his games.
Yeah.
The Hall of Fame coaches win 57% and we give them a gold jacket. I thought it was a real moment for Lamar. And I got to tell you, down the stretch of that game with the lead, I thought he played really smart. He knew to sit down. He stayed in bounds. There was ball security. I felt like I saw growth with Lamar. Your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. And for 1 second, did I think that Lamar was going to lose that game, even after he threw the pick early in the first quarter. And, it was a ball that I think got away from him. But for him to, just stay in sync, stay in tune with the offense and not get flustered and not, start pressing, play within himself and allow his teammates to work for him and work with him. I think that was the telltale sign of the game. He showed a lot of heart, a lot of resiliency, and he had a lot on his plate. He had a lot on his back. And yes, us, the media and as critics, because we can be critical, we have that platform. We kind of say the things that we mean or what we expect to see. And Lamar, he might take it personal, but he understands how this whole business works. And, that's why you get what you got yesterday. You get a guy who's, just in tune with what's going on and, very enthused about, playing a game of football. And this showed up yesterday. And, I won't say he's out to prove everybody wrong. He's out to just continue to progress and get better and help his team progress towards a championship.
All right, Saints pretty much rolled Tom Brady twice. Now they meet for a third time. Will it look different? Anything you like about Tampa right now?
You know, the thing I love about Tampa right now is, Mike Evans. You know, he's really turned up right now. He's playing a different game. He looks different, playing with a lot of confidence. And Antonio Brown, you know, I think it's going to be the X factor in this game. He didn't play in the first one. I think he was just coming, joining the team the second time they played.
Yep.
But, you know, Janoris Jenkins and Marshawn Lattimore are going to have their work cut out for him because Antonio Brown is still one of the best receivers in the league. And I think he's a great compliment to Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. So he opens everything up. And it's hard to beat a team three times in a row, not to say that it can't be done, but, you know, some crazy things are going to have to happen in order for Tom Brady to not walk out of the stadium with a win this weekend.
Would you give Big Ben another year, and if so, why?
I'll give Big Ben another year, and I'm not saying this because he's my boy. I thought he left a lot out on the field last night. I thought he battled. It was a very intricate season for the Pittsburgh Steelers when you think about it in its totality. From scheduling to COVID to not having a bye. And these guys, I think, wore down. It was tired. You had a lot of guys injured, you know, especially when Devin Bush and Bud Dupree went out, early in the year. It killed the momentum of this football team. And, you know, the one thing that has to happen if Ben's going to come back, you're going to have to find him a running game. You look at the older quarterbacks in the league, they all got run games.
Yeah.
They all got a run game around them. Aaron Rodgers. He has a run game. Drew Brees, Tom Brady. You know, those guys got run game to complement what they're trying to do at this age. And it's not easy. So they need that complement. And that's the only way, you know, I think Ben should consider coming back. Because right now, it's at his discretion.
So Jared Goff's got an injury. I don't like their chances going up to Green Bay. Warm weather team, go to cold weather Green Bay, well-rested Packers. But as we saw, Pittsburgh was well-rested, some of their stars, and didn't play well. Goff's not playing with confidence. Go back to your career. If you struggled, if you had a two-game streak, did you ever lose confidence? How do you regain it as a quarterback?
The only way to gain confidence as a quarterback is to go out and find some confidence. And if that's throwing the touchdown pass early, if it's just finding a way to win the game, that's what it's going to take. But it takes an awful lot, and it's easier to lose your confidence than to gain it. So what you have to do is just play with a lot of heart, play with the will to win, so to speak, and not worry about making the mistakes because, you know, at that point, you know, you already have everything barreling down on you. The only thing you can do is trend up from there. I think it's going to be tough for Jared Goff this weekend, especially with the thumb injury. I know it's not all the way healed, and it's going to be cold. So, you know, the pressure is going to continue to mount, but expectations won't change for Jared Goff and the Rams.
Yeah. By the way, I saw the line this morning. The Cleveland Browns are getting 10 points. They're a 10-point underdog to Kansas City. And I said, here's my thing with Kansas City. I couldn't tell you the last time they beat a team by 10 points. I thought they played terribly down the stretch. And then they didn't play Mahomes in week 17. So they're just sitting home and watching. Did you ever get a bye? Do you know guys that got a bye? I don't think the bye is always the answer to everything. Your thoughts on Kansas City sitting around and Cleveland coming off their best win in 30 years.
Yeah, the best thing about a bye is just getting guys healthy in terms of momentum. It's kind of hard to replace that. It's hard to, simulate game speed and being out there, getting hit, throwing passes into coverage. Those are things that have to happen when you're out in the field. And Kansas City, they've been sitting for a long time. And Cleveland, you know, they're riding that wave right now. And momentum is real. So, you know, Kansas City, they're going to have to be ready. And Baker Mayfield is coming. The one thing I know about the Cleveland Browns team is that when they come into a stadium, they know exactly what they're going to do to you right now. They're going to try to pound the ball, keep the opposing quarterback off the field, make their plays, and try to find a way to play some defense to win the game.
Yeah. Mike Vick, back in Florida. He'll be back out here in California. We got a Sunday NFL kickoff show on Saturday this week on Fox. Mike, great seeing you as always, man.
No doubt. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Do you suffer from lead foot? Do goosebumps appear for no reason? Stop living with uninspired performance. Go to mbusa.com/AMG and find out if Mercedes AMG, a coupe, sedan, or SUV is right for you. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
The Chiefs haven't beat a team by more than 10 since the Jets.
And that was what, week 9,
that
8?
That was 8.
And you're giving Cleveland 10.
I think it's a lot of points. I will say, it's Kansas City at home, and the Chiefs are not the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No, and they're healthier. You know, Pittsburgh was down since like almost Thanksgiving, down two of their best linebackers. Yeah.
But it still is a lot of points. So the big news, Doug Peterson is out in Philadelphia just 3 years after winning the franchise's only Super Bowl. Peterson has reportedly been fired as the Eagles head coach. In 5 seasons with the team, he had a record of 42-37-1 and was 4-2 in the playoffs. So now there are 7 teams that need head coaches: the Chargers, the Eagles, the Falcons, the Jags, the Jets, the Lions, and the Texans.
Well, I see. I think this changes things. I think the Chargers is still the best job. I think Philadelphia is now the second best job.
Well, what makes this very, I don't know, it's confusing, but there's a lot to process here. So you're moving off of your head coach in Doug Peterson. So are you sticking with Carson Wentz?
Well, that's what it feels like to me, is you get a coach that can get along with Carson Wentz.
So what do you do with Jalen Hurts?
Well, he's a backup, and maybe you let him compete in camp, but the reality is you're paying Carson Wentz $35 million a year. He's got to play. You can't sit a guy paying $35 million. So either engineer a trade. What I think it tells me, Joy, is they're going to hire an offensive coach. They've got to get the Carson Wentz thing fixed.
Do they?
God, I mean,
if they were planning on sticking with Doug Peterson, then you trade Carson Wentz and you stick with Jalen Hurts. I think, I don't know. I have to talk to some Eagles fans and see what their pulse on this is. But if I'm an Eagles fan, I am ready to move off of Carson Wentz.
Well,
I've seen enough from Jalen Hurts this year, and it's no like disrespect to what Carson Wentz is capable of. I just think it's just you saw too much with Jalen Hurts for him to say. If Carson Wentz goes out there and struggles,
well, here's the thing. We know Chris Mortensen reported San Francisco will look to move off Garoppolo. Doesn't mean they will, but they'll look. We know the Colts are a dynamic quarterback away from winning the Super Bowl.
And Frank Reich is there.
So there's two. They know both those rosters are ready to win the Super Bowl. They need a healthy, dynamic quarterback. So I think the Niners and the Colts will make some offer
for
to Philadelphia. And if that's the case, I think Philadelphia would probably take it, just because of the reality of what we're seeing in playoffs is, if you don't pay your quarterback anything, they're not paying Jalen Hurts anything.
Right.
You can just get more free agents.
And that money is, the money thing doesn't matter in that situation, because you're not paying Jalen Hurts. So that money is just like what's slotted for quarterbacks on your team.
That's right.
So it's not like you're doubling up. So if he's not there and it's a cap hit, you're not paying Jalen Hurts
anything.
So you'd have to pay him regardless. And now Peterson is on the market for a job. So Jay Glazer just tweeted, keep an eye on Doug Peterson and the Jets. He has a great relationship with GM Joe Douglas. I don't think that Doug Peterson is a bad coach. That was a bad decision.
Well, I don't think he's a bad coach, but he certainly wasn't as good once Frank Reich left.
No, that was glaringly obvious.
Okay, so, you know, again, when Kyle Shanahan left Atlanta, their head coach didn't win as many games. Like, there are these superstar coordinators and the coach is capable. Doug's capable. But boy, he was never the same when Frank left. And Frank, by the way, what a shock. The Colts are really good.
Yeah. So after starting 11-0, the Steelers lost 4 of their last 5 regular season games and were bounced in the playoffs with a 48-37 loss to the Browns last night. That final score does not reflect the absolute job that the Browns did to the Steelers.
You've never seen a score that meant less. Cleveland crushed it.
Absolutely. And Mike Tomlin had a tough time explaining what happened to his team in Pittsburgh's collapse.
We didn't do enough. We didn't position them in enough good circumstances. We didn't make enough plays, particularly in the critical moments. You know, we were a group that died on the vine.
I don't know what the Steelers were doing yesterday. I have no idea.
Just didn't look prepared, didn't look ready to play.
They didn't look prepared, and then once things took a turn, what are you dinking and dunking for? You're down 28-0 in a playoff game. 10 yards, these little 5-yard checkdowns are not going to do it. Throw the ball down the field. And you saw what happened when they actually did. Now, listen, the Browns were in a different defense at that point.
Look at
but
Ben.
But you have to get chunk plays. It was impossible.
Look at
it
Ben.
It was a disaster.
That is such a weak effort. We banged on Cam Newton for not going after a fumble. Look at this effort by Ben Roethlisberger.
Here's the thing about Pittsburgh. They lost Bud Dupree.
Look at
they
that.
Lost Devin Bush. And nobody's paying attention to that because it's not sexy, but it matters. They also have no rushing. They do not rush. They had 52 total yards rushing. That's not going to work when you have an old quarterback. That doesn't work. Cleveland, on the other hand, did not have that problem. The Browns rushed for 127 total yards. Nick Chubb, 76. Kareem Hunt, 48. And Baker added two. But that you don't have any kind of rushing game whatsoever. You lost Devin Bush. You lost Bud Dupree. Yeah. Big Ben is aging. I thought that they should have done something at the quarterback position in the offseason, in this past offseason. Now it's glaringly obvious that they have to do something, but I don't think that Pittsburgh will. The thing about the Pittsburgh Steelers is they have Super Bowl expectations every single year, as they should, because they're a winning organization that's run very well. They're a very loyal fan base and a very loyal organization, sometimes you can be loyal to a fault.
Yeah, it's very Midwest feeling.
You can't be loyal to Big Ben anymore.
Yeah.
If you watched that last night and you're still talking about Big Ben has a little bit more in him, he just needs some more pieces, you're watching something different than the rest of the world watched. And that's probably because you have loyalty to Pittsburgh. I was born and raised there. I know how it goes. Ever since they lost Le'Veon Bell left, however you want to look at it. Can't run the football. Doesn't work.
No, I mean, they 28th, 29th, 30th. If you go look at their last 3 years running the football, I saw it earlier this year, they can't run the football since he left.
Finally, Alabama and Ohio State meet tonight in the national championship game to round out this Christmas football weekend. It's just like a gift. It should be a high-scoring affair. Both teams have explosive offenses. Alabama scored second most points per game this season and is home to the Heisman winner, Devontae Smith. And Justin Fields is coming off an unbelievable performance against Clemson with career highs in both passing yards with 385 and passing touchdowns with 6. Fox Bet has Alabama favored at 8.5. Where are you going with that?
I would probably take Ohio State if I get 8.5, but I don't feel great confidence with it. I think Alabama's better and will win. But again, you're giving me Justin Fields, a really clever coach. 8.5 points is a lot. I mean, giving Ohio State University 8.5 points doesn't feel like ever a good bet.
It feels like a lot. The only thing I will say is we have not really talked about Alabama at all. Like, they just ran through Notre Dame, and then it was all about Ohio State, Clemson.
I know,
and we've all been focusing on Ohio State.
So we know Clemson's a great program. The last two times Ohio State has played Clemson, they beat them, and then they outplayed them and lost. So it's like, I think the Ohio State-Bama gap is smaller than we think. 8.5 feels... I think Ohio State's better than Georgia, and Georgia can go toe-to-toe. I always feel Georgia can play with Alabama, and Georgia struggles but beats Notre Dame. I think Ohio State would beat Notre Dame with some space. So I think the best program is Bama, talent-wise. I think Ohio State feels like second, and then Clemson's an inch behind. Then you get into the Georgia-Notre Dame stuff. So I think it's going to be competitive.
I think it will, too. I think Alabama is liking that everyone is talking about Ohio State for the past couple weeks, though.
Right. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
All right, the three-word NFL game. We discuss every team, winners and losers, going forward in the three-word game every Monday.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Casper.com, Casper Mattresses. It's what I sleep on. 1,500 perforations. Create a cooling system, effective at night, never hot, always cool, Casper.com. So we call it the three-word game. We do it every Monday during the NFL season. I think this is about the last weekend we'll do it, or the last Monday for a while. The three-word game, we believe it forces us to be succinct and accurate discussing football teams. So here we do the winner and the loser of each playoff game this weekend. Here we go. Colts, missing one piece. Listen, they got into the Bills' territory in all 9 of their offensive possessions, excluding the kneel down, and they couldn't win a game. That's almost unheard of. They moved the ball, but situationally in the red zone, they're incredibly limited. Colts were the first team to lose with 450 total yards and no turnovers in NFL postseason history. They got to get more dynamic at quarterback. Bills, all on Allen. First quarterback to have 300-plus passing yards, 70% completion percentage, 50-plus rushing yards in a playoff game since 1948. Now, the question becomes, they're not running the football well. Their pass rush is hit and miss. They're very well coached. But if you're not winning in the trenches, and they did not win the battle in the trenches this weekend, how long and how far can an uber-talented quarterback take you? Well, we know the answer. It's the ability to beat the Colts. Rams, great, except Goff. Listen, they're 37-0 leading at halftime, so they're well coached. Their defense gave Russell Wilson absolute fits. 5 sacks. But Jared Goff completed 9 throws. They didn't want to start him. They didn't want to play him. This miraculous Cooper Kupp catch was really the highlight of the day. I don't see how you can go to Lambeau and beat Aaron Rodgers when you've got a quarterback the coaching staff and the quarterback himself lacks confidence in. Seahawks. Russ got cooked. 11 completions, 41% completion percentage. The Seahawks started the game 0-for-8 on third down. I don't have an answer for it. They got healthier on offense and worse. I do think they need to address the offensive line. It's never been a strength of Pete Carroll. I don't think they've ever had a top 5-6 offensive line since he's been in Seattle. Thank God for the left tackle spot's pretty good. Outside of that, they need some work. Bucks, exactly as planned. Leonard Fournette, when they went and traded for him, this is why you get him. If Ronald Jones is hurt, which he got hurt before the game, you got Antonio Brown. This is what we all thought. They'd be a wild card team. They were good enough to win a wild card game. We did think their ceiling in year one would be low, but we also thought, listen, the defense will carry him early, and Tom with a new playbook and teammates will probably start rolling after Thanksgiving, and sure enough, Brady and the Bucks are 5-0 off since the bye, and he leads the NFL in touchdowns since the bye. Washington, a bright future. Taylor Heinicke, listen, it was nice. Taylor Heinicke's nice. He's not going to be the franchise guy, but it was a nice start. He's mobile. He moves. He's inexpensive. Love to have him in my franchise as a backup. But total defense, it was very much Ron Rivera. 5th in total defense, 3rd in scoring defense, 4th in sacks. Chase Young was great. They got a nice, listen, they had a lot of things to overcome. Chaos from ownership, quarterback mess, coaches battling cancer, you know, injuries, and to get to the playoffs. And that game was a pretty interesting game Saturday. It was a competitive back and forth game. Titans, 2-1 dimensional. First career game. Derrick Henry, 40 or fewer rushing yards on 15-plus carries. I thought he looked tired. I, you know what he looked like? He looked like that baseball pitcher that pitched 240 innings and he gets into the playoffs and he can't get past the 6th inning. I just thought Derrick, they did a good job to play their one-gap defense. They didn't give him a lot of openings. I thought Baltimore, outside of the first quarter, just felt like the better team was winning the line of scrimmage, but they got to get him help. Corey Davis had a good year. They need more help. Tight end help, wide receiver help, O-line help. Ravens. Lamar gets revenge. Yes, he does. 4th youngest quarterback to lead a double-digit comeback in NFL postseason history. This was the play of the game. Listen, he's special. He's not the best passer, but he's good enough. But when you're the fastest player in the world playing your sport, you're a 10 in that department. You can be a 6 in the other one. And I also thought he played measured, very self-aware on the last couple of drives of the game. He was very aware of the clock. He was very aware of ball security. He tucked it in runs instead of, like, taking a gamble. He had one bad throw. It happens. It's the playoffs. Bears, ditch the Mitch. No games of 300-plus yards passing. It's just limited. Not blaming it all on him, but it's limited. And when you go on the road and you can put up that kind of defensive performance, feels like you sort of owe your team some big completions. Saints, not a breeze. 21 points, season low. They average 5 yards a play, 3.5 yards a rush, way below their season average. So that was not an easy one. That was a physical one. Browns, well, looky here. First playoff win since 94. Snap a 17-game losing streak at Pittsburgh. And they look smart and adult and efficient and dynamic. Steelers, give Ben Boot. They're a bad team. They ended the season 1-5. He had one great half against the Colts after Thanksgiving. He was bad. Steelers were bad. Drops, penalties, interceptions. We'll see you tomorrow. It's the Herd.